You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
A glass of beer is a cool, soothing beverage. But in reality, a glass of beer is Peepy Dickie. That's it.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of Comedia Go-Go's podcast, Public Access. This is Jess.
This is Regan.
And we are happy campers to bring you another segment of Have You Seen This Man? It is a podcast where one of us or some of us watch a movie that we have not seen before, and then we revel in the experience afterwards. And so, Regan, we are pleased as punch to have who on our podcast today?
We are super pleased as punch to have a former Public Access guest. Comedian and friend and film connoisseur, Travis Reyes.
That's right.
Mr. Criterion, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. He owns more. How many Criterion collection DVDs do you own?
Oh, man, I've lost count. Like, way more than I probably should spend money or have money. Like, I can't justify it. I can't justify <All right>. the amount of just pretentious nonsense I am.
And because he is such a film connoisseur, he would just let us know that he watched XXX2, Return of Xander Cage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Give us your quick critique on XXX2. Or what? No, three. Wait,
two.
Wait.
Well, technically, it's three.
Like, Creel fans don't count that Ice Cube garbage.
But he's in the movie, right?
Yeah, but, like, they know. It's like, oh, yeah, we just threw him a bone for, like, not letting the franchise completely get lost.
Okay.
In the zeitgeist.
Okay.
Like, without that second one, then this would be, like, 15 years. And then we wouldn't, like, we had that, like, bridge between amazing and double amazing, and then just the Ice Cubes.
So it's double amazing.
Oh yeah. Okay. It's like I can't like it was like a religious experience watching
that
it.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
No, actually, no, it's garbage. I don't want anyone to be like, this guy's serious. It's garbage.
Yeah.
But good garbage or bad garbage?
Oh, it's good garbage. It's
well,
like
maybe File Under's above Last Witch Hunter.
Oh,
which is
for sure better than Last Witch Hunter.
Okay, all right. Yeah,
like,
Last Witch Hunter was
like, it's like that kind of shit that's like, this is nonsense, but we're taking it completely serious.
Right.
This movie was like, we don't give a fuck about physics. And like, the opening scene is Vin Diesel, like, jumping off, like, a radio tower on skis onto just, like, normal land, like, rocky ground, and, like, his legs don't shatter. Which would have been a better movie if he just went, oh, shit, his legs are broken. But he's just like, he just keeps skiing down a mountain for no. And it's just to give like a small Nicaraguan town like cable. That's his whole mission. I'm not making that up.
Oh, wow.
They're like, wait, to give him like cable television?
He just like a dumb like box and plugs it into the TV because you can watch soccer now. He bangs some lady and gives her the skis or something. That's the opening Vin Diesel scene of the movie.
That sounds like an amazing, amazing
it's
movie.
Just like one of, there's a scene where he breaks a gun over his knee.
All
like
right.
Well, like one half, and he goes, okay. Half, and he breaks the gun on his knee and gives the guy half a gun.
All right. Well, then, future episode, then.
I mean, we both haven't seen it.
Yeah, XXX2, Return of Xander Cage will be definitely a future episode. But that is not the movie we are watching today. Travis.
I like the fact that Xander Cage is as ridiculous of a name as Vin Diesel. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's actually more of like a normal name.
You're right, exactly. It should be Vin Xander Cage as Vin Diesel is what I would picture it.
Like,
yeah,
I've
exactly.
Heard someone named Xander. At least short for Alexander, but Vin Diesel? I guess
right.
Vince?
Wow. So we are not watching XXX2 Return of Xander Cage yet. But Travis, what movie are we watching tonight?
We're watching Putney Swopes. It was directed by Robert Downey Sr.
And that's awesome. And Iron Man's dad. And what?
Wait, so Mad Men?
Yeah, Silver Fox.
Mad Men's is Iron
yeah,
Man's
exactly.
dad.
Silver Fox, as well as I call them. What brought you upon this movie? Like, about what time era did you see this movie, and when were you introduced to it?
I was in high school, and I just got tired of watching the same
XXX movies.
No, it was like it appeared when I first started smoking weed.
Okay.
And I was like tired of watching like on the list online where it's like you like these movies, and it was like Up in Smoke and Dazed and Confused.
Okay.
And so I've watched those movies. Like, I've worn those copies out, and I was tired watching them. So I just went to, like, chat rooms and shit and was like, what movies do you watch when you're high? And this was one of them, and Magnolia, the Paul Thomas Anderson. Right. So it just seems like weird movies. And
you're supposed to watch Magnolia High?
Apparently.
Well, yeah, that's a long high. It's like a 3-hour movie. Yeah.
Well, it's also the saddest high. Like, you don't want to watch
it. Yeah, exactly.
So it was a lot of movies like that and like Eraserhead that were like, I don't want to be high when I'm watching these. And then this, which was like, it's like the perfect kind of high movie.
Okay.
And then later I learned that this is like Louis C.K. and Paul Thomas Anderson's like favorite movie.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So it was kind of added that extra level of it.
Mm-hmm. So before you describe what the movie's about, what little I know about it is a moody jazz movie, but I might be wrong. I don't know. I just know that the poster is a picture of someone shooting the middle finger, and the middle finger is this jazzy lady. It's very black and white. It looks like a Criterion movie, if you know what I mean. Like, if you look at the poster. But that's the original poster of what the movie was when it came out. Regan?
I'm imagining the movie is about a dude named Putney Swope who likes to stick it to the man by giving the middle finger. This is all I'm getting from the poster. So, yeah, it's just some dude that sticks it to the man named Putney Swope. It was in the 60s, so I have no idea.
Are we wrong?
Yes.
Okay.
It's triple X.
It's, reminding me of any movie that I don't know what the title is, but sounds like a name, I'm assuming it's about the dude. So it's about a dude named Putney Swope, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Did you watch Patterson, right?
I did.
Yeah, that's the kind of movie that I expect you would watch. It's a movie about a man named Patterson that lives in a city named Patterson.
Yeah.
And
Slua Davis with that Star Wars guy in it. Yeah. Another Star Wars guy in it.
Or it's like, okay, so an older episode movie that we talked about and outside of the podcast is Borgman. Borgman's the name of the dude in the movie. Right.
Yeah.
John Wick.
John Wick.
You can't just have like a weird name and it not be about that dude. Or like a weird orb or something. Like,
right, right. Exactly.
Is there a movie out there that's just a weird name but has nothing to do with the
Hudsucker Proxy?
Yeah, like the words Hudsucker Proxy is not spoken in that movie, I think.
Unless that's like the name of one of the characters that we don't know.
Just a guy in the office. Never paid attention.
Guy making coffee, they go, Hudsucker?
Yeah. Or it's the location of where the movie takes place. Fargo is where the movie takes place.
Right. It's always something that kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
But sometimes there'll be a movie with a title that has zilch to do with anything. Like, I guess every title. I would imagine every title is somewhat relevant. Like,
it should.
It should. Or it ties into something. Like, seldom is a movie have a title that has zilch at all. Like, fuck all to do with the actual movie.
It's like about just like two guys hanging out.
Ghost Dog had nothing to do about ghosts or dogs.
Yeah, and I don't think they called him Ghost Dog. Just we call him Ghost Dog. Or did they call him Ghost Dog?
Are you talking about the Forest Whitaker one? Yeah. Actual Ghost Dog.
Oh, wait, there's
an actual movie called Ghost Dog, but he's an angel. It has nothing to do with it.
Ghost Dad, but it was a dog.
Right, so it relates to it, because it's called Ghost Dog, but they established very early on that
it's not a dead dog.
It's a guy whose spirit goes into, like, a living dog.
Oh, so it's like Boss Cat, or wait, what was that? No, that's Boss Baby. What's the new cat movie with, name?
Nine Lives.
With Kevin Spacey?
Yeah, Nine Lives. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I thought you were talking about that.
No, I'm talking about Ghost Dog Way of the Samurai. Yeah. Ghost Dog.
Right. But did they call him Ghost Dog? Now I gotta see that. It's been a while since I've seen it.
A long time.
Did they call it, hey, it's Ghost Dog. Like, when he shows up and starts killing all those Guidos.
It's directed by Jim Patterson, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, look at that. Connection.
Right.
All right.
Well, so what are we snacking on today? What is our snack of choice today
popcorn.
In this edition of Have You Seen This Man?
Popcorn, as always, but the way we mix it up is that we're doing different spices or different toppings to our popcorn. Last time we did Lotta Zing from
Golden Chick. Right.
And today we are going to do one of our friend Brent Bumpers. He says to do fajita spice. So we're going to put fajita spice on our popcorn and give that a shot. And we're going to try it out. And we didn't talk about how we like Lotta Zing. Jess, what did you think about
I liked a Lotta Zing. I thought that was a really, really good popcorn topper. I would go as far as to go to Golden Chick to get extra Lotta Zing, much like how people get extra mild sauce from Taco Bell. and stash it in the salt drawer and you never use it until you actually have popcorn. But popcorn's been banned at my house because Lisa doesn't like the smell of popcorn. So
no, I know it's not banned. It's banned because you should have seen the mess that Jess left.
There's
last
that too.
Time.
There
Jess,
is
it was freaking.
There is Tasmanian devil amounts of damage done in terms of popcorn being eaten.
There was just crumbs everywhere.
Right.
You know, speaking of Golden Chick, Travis told us a hilarious story earlier about. Can you say that story again?
Oh yeah, there was one by my gym, but I never went there.
That's it.
So that was a great story. all right. Also, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that Travis is one of the greatest. Well, actually, he's wearing all his Cubs stuff, but one of the greatest Spurs fans. That also,
this is true.
And so I just love how much you rep the Spurs all the time and the Cubs. Two great teams.
Right.
To America's teams. All right.
And we are about to ready to roll with another edition of Have You Seen This Man with the movie Putney Swope and our pal Travis Reyes.
All right, let's do this.
Our job is to manipulate the consumer by arousing his desires, and then we satisfy those desires for a fixed price. Sounds familiar.
It sounds familiar.
It's called advertising.
Yeah,
that's the way it is. Yeah.
Like Mad Men.
Hey, Bissinger, you better get hip to reality. By advertising toy guns, you're encouraging kids to enjoy violence.
You're only music director around here, Swope.
Of course.
What do you know about the total spectrum?
Of course he's the music director.
I know what I feel.
What's that got to do with it?
I think we should drop the account.
How dare you!
Drop the account and show the business community and the public that we're morally and socially responsible.
Robert Downey Sr. dubbed his own voice over that guy's performance.
Are you serious?
I was going to say he sounds like dubbed over.
For 12 years.
Jim Karanga of Watts, California is eating a bowl of ethereal cereal, the heavenly breakfast food. Jim, did you know that ethereal cereal has twice as much vitamin B as any other leading cereal? Ethereal also has the added punch of 0.002 ESP units of pectin.
No shit!
Yeah, I love it.
Yay! I will say that's like a Mr. Show sketch, the box or the bag hutch or whatever.
Big man.
You want to have din-din?
Why have dinner? I'm at 1293 Lenox, apartment 4C.
I got to be straight with you, girl. I'm engaged.
Keep it to yourself, Swope.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to bend your Johnson.
I'm ready.
I'm going to make you young again.
Bedroom scene.
Yeah, bedroom scene for sure.
Are you ready to die?
Man, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go anywhere, do anything, see anybody, walk, talk, smart, be anything to do what I got to do, man. I'm die. Die means nothing to me, man. You know, I just want to get things straight around here, man, because Putney Swope is a jive cat, man. He can't talk, he can't walk, he can't sit. Man, this cat can't do nothing right. He was voted in here on a Hummer.
Who did that?
You did. It was your idea.
Not bad. Not bad. We'll have 12 more by sundown.
Mr. Swope, where have you been all these years?
Laying in the cut.
Mr. Putney, did you sleep with your wife before you married her?
Not a wink.
What is your position on the checkerboard of life?
Is it true that you refuse to advertise war toys, cigarettes, and alcoholic beverages?
You said it.
Where did you get the name Truth and Soul?
In the streets.
Excuse me, Mr. Swope. Gourmet magazine says your commercials are tasteless and that you should be censored. Now, my question is, in what direction are you heading?
I'm going uptown. Can I give anybody a lift?
Get off of my short, baby!
Oh, Mr. Swope, I'm Sister Basilica, and this here's Billy Riley. Billy's an orphan, and he wants to be your pal. Now, if you want to be Billy's pal, all you have to do is fill out the necessary papers and take him out of the settlement once a week. Oh, you know, you can take him out to lunch or take him for a ride.
You're taking me for a ride.
Oh, be a pal.
Shouldn't you be in school?
Fuck you! And fuck the establishment! And fuck you people who are trying to make me part of the unestablished establishment!
All right, I'll pick you up tomorrow at 11 o'clock. I'll take you to the zoo and we'll go to the ball game.
What the fuck?
Why don't you just adopt me and get it over with?
Don't push me out.
Whatever you decide, don't do it out of guilt.
And there we are. We just finished watching Putney Swope.
Putney Swope. It was an actual character.
It was a person.
It was the character. It was a person in the movie.
And so. It wasn't Triple X.
And it wasn't Triple X. No.
It wasn't a maneuver. It was a real person.
Yeah.
Putney Swope.
Putney Swope. So this was 1969. And so it's weird because obviously it's an old movie. And when you think old movie, you don't immediately think black and white, but it was black and white. But it's not that old that it should be black and white.
It was like an artistic choice.
As an artistic choice.
Yeah. Well, first of all, that was a budgetary choice because it would be a smaller film. True. Or it would be an independent film. So, okay, maybe the stock was like black and white. But then as the movie progressed, yeah, it was an artistic choice because the movie was about advertising. And then when it slipped into the advertising world, it would show these advertisements. It was in color. And very, like was stylistically done, like in a commercial way.
And the black and white they use isn't like... It didn't seem like a stylistic choice. It seemed like, oh, this is like early, like John Cassavetes, where I have no money.
Yeah.
And this just looks like it was like really dark, and it didn't look like it was a choice on purpose. It looked like they were just shot out of necessity. Like a handheld.
Yeah. And then they shot the commercials very well. So if we were to give a summary now or a synopsis of the movie,
right?
Having seen it, Jess, what would you say?
It's a take on the advertising world at that era. And essentially the synopsis of the movie would be that a long-standing advertising agency loses their head honcho, who dies in a board meeting, and a very, kind of setting the tone of the rest of the movie, kind of setting this absurdist tone. The chairman's dead on the table, and they're literally like voting on who should be next, and he's still dead on the table. Like, he just died. I'm like, oh, we gotta figure out who's in charge. And through a weird, like, accidental pity vote, they vote the director of music, who happens to be a black man in a boardroom full of white men named Putney Swope. And then he turns the entire this legacy, because God knows how long the company had lasted. It's like a whole generation of this guy's work who did all this body of work. And oh, now I'm taking over. Now it's called the Truth and Soul.
Truth and Soul.
Truth and Soul Advertising Agency. And then from that point on, it is a
And then as far as...
It's an absurdist trip. Like, there's so much stuff going on.
Genre-wise, if you're to put it... Because I think maybe after... For each one, we should say, like, okay, we didn't know what genre this was going to be. I had no idea.
Exactly. If it was comedy, if it was very serious or anything.
I was expecting it maybe to be very serious, you know, very, very serious.
Well, it starts off in a weird tone where, like, it's very... It very much seems like, oh, this is almost like a Mad Men-ish kind of thing. Yeah. Where it's dudes at a... Like, sitting in a boardroom, but the things they're saying don't match the tone of how it's being filmed. Like, the guy's like the poo-poo pee-pee or whatever he said thing. It's just like weird.
Pee-pee-dicky.
Yeah, it's just like weird, nonsensical things
that
really make no sense.
But like you said, that sets the tone for the whole movie because...
That guy died. That's the whole thing. It's already ridiculous when then he dies and they're like, oh, we gotta figure out who's gonna be in charge, and he's still dead.
But... I mean, yeah, that's a perfect way to start the movie. You have a dude flown in by a helicopter, by the way.
Right.
A doctor dressed like a biker, sort of, with sleeveless, sort of, but with a briefcase, and then he goes on to, I guess, give them a little...
Say alcohol's not good for you? Or
beer, like just beer? Essentially saying, like, beer's for men that are overcompensating, and just this long spiel about...
Yeah.
So it sets a tone for what the movie is, it's a comedy, super satirical, super poking fun at, you know, that's why I was wondering, like, it's a 69 and trying to think of all that was going on during that time that would have motivated the making of this movie.
A lot of reversal of like a racial reversal of placing subordinate white man in the position of it would have been a subordinate black person. There's a dialogue about there's a white man asking for a raise, and Putney Swope's explaining to him, you can't do that because it would everybody else would need a raise. And yeah. he basically tries to justify a reason to keep him on a lower level. Yeah. And that person has to accept it, reversing the whole role of, you know, a black man in the early 70s who's making it in a working industry, still not, you know, not gelling, not excelling, just you're kept at a level, there kept at a cap.
They had a white maid.
A white maid who they kind of treated
like crap.
Like you can't talk to anyone but us, kind of.
So it's interesting to think, like, especially for 1969, for this, it's, you know, made by Robert Downey Sr.
Yeah.
And I get, who wrote it? Like, that's a,
he wrote it as well.
Oh, so he wrote it as well. Yeah. So this is like hardcore.
All the movies he made are like very micro budget, like just a lot of guerrilla filmmaking.
So once again, because the last one we did was written and directed and starred. And technically he stars in this, which is weird. That's another thing, is that the choice to having his voice be the voice of the main character of Putney Swope's, the black man. And it's such a weird, but it's not he just like talks a weird like this.
Character. It's not like a caricature of a voice.
It's just a gravelly voice. That's just, it doesn't really fit the character, but by the end of the movie, like, I don't know. But it would be weird to hear what he really sounded like.
Yeah. But even his dialogue, even Putney Swope's dialogue wasn't, it seemed different. Like, you know, like it's in terms of all the characters in the movie, and then he's calling this place called Truth and Soul, and you have all these brothers, you know, as it was said in the movie, like, you know, that had the soul, but he was just the truth, I guess. And it was a very straightforward talking person. So even his dialogue was different than maybe what the character, which you would expect it to be.
So, and it pokes a ton of fun at advertising, at just politics, as far as the president being portrayed by this little small person.
Yeah, like a foreigner too. He wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't like an American.
With like a weird German dude, like telling him what to do and say, which is really interesting. And pokes fun at a bunch of stuff. But
well, like you said, like what's interesting. So last time we watched The Wizard of Speed in Time, and it was written and directed and starred one guy, Mike Jetlove, and then we talked about how you can tell that Mike Jetlove had total control of the entire movie. It was his movie. Yeah. All the decisions in the movie, you can tell he made. There wasn't somebody.
This wasn't focus grouped.
Yeah.
You know?
And this movie's the same thing. It's independent in the spirit, in the sense that, obviously, you know, Robert Downey Sr. made the call, made every decision, every absurdist choice, everything that was, every elongated joke in the movie, and wasn't somebody else in that era making movies, like a studio would say, you can't do that. Because the whole movie,
90% of everything.
The whole movie, like, non-linear
the whole way through.
Right,
like,
exactly.
It didn't have this overarching like story about it really capitalism didn't. Being evil. But it was kind of like, no, we're just going to tell it in this crazy, they have a villain, but we're not going to like be like, oh, this guy's representing this evil thing. Yeah. It's just,
the movie didn't have all over the fucking place. The movie didn't have an end game either. Because the whole rise of Putney Swope was like, okay, now he's in charge of this thing. He's transforming it. And like the whole thing, the whole movie, it was obvious what his game was, is that people would pitch him ideas and he's doing exactly what his predecessors did. He would take ideas from other people. He would fire them and then take credit for it. And he wrote the entire movie that way. And that wasn't like a revelation. It was something that's like very early on put out there, and he continues to go that way. And it wasn't building up toward like an end game. It was just a series of events and situations and everything, and even the way it ended played out, where he just kind of takes his cut and runs. Like, not even out of necessity, not like the house was burning. He just like got tired of it and like left because, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Or like, no, yeah.
That's what I got. Yeah. Pretty much. But it was, I think it was really interesting the way, you know, it's an advertise, the movie's all about advertising. It's an advertising agency. And like I said, it's shot in black and white, except for those little commercials where, and it took me like two commercials or three commercials to realize, oh yeah, it's color for the commercial. The commercials are in color.
Because there's like no warning that it's coming to commercial. It just like cut to like a close up of a face and then pan out and like crazy shit will just start happening.
Yeah. And so it was very, almost sketch comedy-esque, with that. Cause you get these little vignette little sketches that are hilarious, you know, some just absolutely hilarious, ridiculous, absurd commercials.
And they serve, again, like, like sketches, because they didn't serve so much a narrative purpose.
No.
You know, even the whole movie was teased as this Borman commercial.
Six.
Yeah, the Borman six commercial.
Not even like the commercial, it just, or it was the commercial, but then it cuts just like
It's a real life.
This
yeah.
crazy side gag of like this fat lady getting in a car and it tipping over. Like it just.
Yeah. Because, and then it wasn't the, like the product almost wasn't finished. That was almost the thing. Like I was constantly talking about this Borman thing and then it wasn't even fully executed. It was just like, oh, here it is. Oh, but all the commercials weren't just in color. They were like. Commercials, yeah, like they're stylistically shot very well. Completely different, you know, like almost, I wonder if there was a different.
It was like weird because the movie doesn't have like a real linear story.
Right.
And there's not any scenes where it's like, oh, that's a big gag, time to, you know, mm-hmm. set this up for the next thing. Or that was like a tense moment. It just would be like commercial now. Yeah. And it would just throw them in, which is like. Just the guy going, these are things I think is funny. Let's just try to put them in this movie and make them.
I think the only time it kind of felt like it was called for was when they sat down in the theater about to watch the commercials that they were talking about. And I was like, okay, there should be commercials coming up. Yeah, but it's there's some absolutely hilarious moments throughout the film.
Definitely a certain style. So like going to the whole thing of you saying that like, Louis C.K. and... you know, P.T. Anderson, like obviously had said that they, well, you had said that this movie was influenced and I can see definitely the style and even like the humor is like, and I saw it and I was like, okay, even Don Cheadle's character in Boogie Nights is named Swope or Putney or something like that. His name is a callback or a reference to this movie.
And the firecracker scene.
Yeah, and the firecracker scene.
Like on the commentary on Boogie Nights, he literally goes, oh yeah, I took that from Putney Swope. So I thought it was funny.
Yeah,
like
that's awesome. And then, yeah, you straight up said it. It was one of the commercials where it was a cereal commercial. And it was just a regular, normal commercial, and then at the end of it was a guy going, no shit! Like, that's straight up a Mr. Show sketch.
That's
like
the Hutch.
Yeah.
And this might be, like, a stretch comparison, but Putney kind of reminded me of Daniel Plainview, like, in a way, from There Will Be Blood.
Okay.
Because it was kind of this whole time, he was just this very kind of... Like, there was never a moment where you're like, that guy's a good guy. He was always kind of, like, just very shitty to everyone.
Yeah, and right.
Like, this is all about me, up until he... Obviously, it wasn't as dark. Or, right. But I felt like... Watching it, I was kind of like,
"No, that's
seen
actually
it in
that's
a while."
No, but that's
kind
a really
like a weird.
That is a really good connection because early on, that's the really funny thing about the movie is that it's a boardroom full of despicable people. Mm-hmm. Like again, it's villainizing advertising as a whole, and then you would think, well, yes, maybe it's our mindset in watching this movie now and knowing it's an older movie and going, okay, is this movie progressive to where Putney Swope is going to be like the good guy, the magic guy or whatever, and immediately he's a piece of shit. And like immediately, like yes, he makes the changes of like, I'm going to call it truth and soul.
But
and
really then, he's not
but
making
he's not
any
really
changes.
Making
it's all
any
like
changes.
Surface level changes. It's all like being hip to what's on the streets, but not really believing it.
Right, exactly. And the entire, it was just entirely shamming every single person in that movie.
Yeah, he's not a very good person at all throughout the entire movie.
And being transparent about whose idea was this? It's yours. Oh, it's great. I love
that. Sounds good. That's good.
Yeah. That was good. That voice is just something. Yeah. And I wonder, that's an interesting thing too, is that looking at him in a, you know, thing is that his character reminded me of Robert Downey Jr.'s character in Tropic Thunder. Like, I'm sure that's not coincidental. Like, I mean, I'm sure that's meant purposely done or maybe as a point of reference because the way his voice was for that character. And the beard and the look, I was like, oh, well, like I'm really seeing that connection or whatever.
And I haven't looked it up partly because I really don't want to know if it was like a something where like he did a bad job performing it. The actor,
that's what
or if it was just a choice where he's like, it would be a funny thing for me to do. I like to think that it was just Robert Downey Sr. going, I'm a nonsense person. This is a thing that makes me laugh, but it could very well be. And I almost don't want to look it up to figure
it out.
His
voice was just terrible and annoying.
He talked like this the whole time.
I was like, oh, okay. He liked his look, but he hated
the way he sounded, yeah.
Or like the other main character, the Arab guy, who like a lot of times he went on, it almost seemed like he was going on these like network style like rants, but he just couldn't get words out of his mouth. And it would a lot of times be him going,
like I said, it seemed improvised. Like they're like, hey, we want you to make a point about this
and just go. Kind of go.
And just see where it goes.
Cause it always seemed like the camera was on him a few minutes too long because it seemed like he was out. And then he just kind of start going, motherfucker, jive, idiot. And just
each one of his scenes, it didn't cut back and forth and no one really talked in between.
It was like a weird medium shot of him and the character he was chewing out.
Yeah. No, it would be really, I really would like to know why he chose. I mean, probably the movie does have lots of absurdity to it, and so that's just kind of just a baseline. All right, we're starting here with his voice is going to be dubbed the entire movie by some other voice.
So. It was weird because I remember when I first saw it, I was probably like 15 or 16. And it was just kind of this thing where it connected to me on a level where it's like, oh, a lot of these gags are like Airplane 3, right, exactly. Where they're just absurdist things.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got older, it kind of had like the same effect Eraserhead had on me, where I was like, oh, this is like, these don't have to have just like, this is what's happening in this scene. It can be like, just here's just a thing that I like.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's almost like someone who wants to make film and like wants to write and stuff. It's almost like Frank to see, oh, you can do that. You can just go.
Just put whatever you want.
You just go, I like this. This makes me laugh. Yeah. Or this is.
Yeah. And, lots of, like I said, ton of satire poking. You know, he's dressed up as Fidel Castro for a while.
Yeah.
And he's a Black Panther for a while.
He's wearing like a weird suit. Some scenes.
Yeah. He mixes up his characters. Yeah, just there's a dude in a mariachi outfit. There's a guy dressed up like a cowboy,
and they are the ones handling the money. For some reason. The actor's name that played the Arab guy is it's Antonio Fargas, and he was Huggy Bear in Starsky Bear, and Hutch.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also you'd sit in
I'm gonna get you sucker. He plays Fly Guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotta go check my fly paper, see what's sticky.
He's the one who was doing all the amazing. Not even so much amazing, but the very interesting improv scenes of delivering points in the movie. And this movie is also another great example of seeing something that was a predecessor to other things that you'd like. So he's an influence to Louis C.K. and P.T. Anderson, but also mentioned Airplane, but also reminds me of pre Kentucky Fried Movie, which came out before
Absolutely.
Airplane, come out before Airplane. And so it's like, obviously to me, it's like, okay, these things influence these other films. And it reminds me of when I see stuff like this, it's really cool to see them. Like the things that influence the things that influence things that I like that influence me. For example, like when I first saw El Topo, and like that movie was a giant inspiration for a lot of other movies down the road. And I'm like, oh, like what's hilarious too is that movie, like I'm a huge gamer, and that movie, the things that it influenced influenced the concept of bosses. And that was something I had read that the people that liked that, like the things that influence it, like, you know, Enter the Dragon and Game of Death. And it's like, okay, well, El Topo was around that era too. And it was this concept of him going through these chambers. And that in essence is his own interpretation of Dante's Inferno. Like, and it's just crazy, this levels of influence. So this movie, it is that really like cutting edge satire before something that I thought was like cutting edge at the time, which would be Kentucky Fried Movie. Yeah. And things of that nature on that thing. And this was really cutting edge because it's provocative in the sense that, yes, the main character is a Black man in a white man's world, and they're reversing all the race roles, lots of nudity, biracial relationship in the commercial, out in the forefront.
And like
69,
this was before Woody Allen even started really with
his
research.
Okay, yeah, right.
Like it was before Take the Money and Run, I think, is like 70.
Right.
So this is like before Woody Allen's even absurd shit. So
yeah.
The comedies out then were probably just kind of
who's on first type shit.
Yeah, like just kind of.
That's what I wanted. I would like to personally is research what other movies were coming out around that era, and just try to compare them as far as what was the normal comedies and stuff. One thing I just wrote a note was Pootie Tang, which is directed by Louis C.K. You know,
directed by Louis.
Yeah, and so. And it's Black actors and stuff, but written and directed by a white guy, but still crazy, absurd, satirical, you know, all the same.
Which also, isn't that like a movie where Louis is like, this is not like vision in my head, or this is not what I filmed? Like, I think he had something that was more out there and weird.
But
Paramount was like
that's the whole thing of when you get to be when you get to have full control.
Well, you can tell with some episodes of Louis that they're influenced by this, like the repetition of phrases.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like, okay, I can see, or just like weird shit happening in the background.
How many syllables? Yeah, running jokes, running gags.
The girl needs to have soul.
Oh my gosh.
The girl needs to have soul. The Borman 6 girl needs to have soul.
But those kind of jokes are like to pull that kind of humor off, is really like, it's tough because it can just be absurd and annoying. Or the way they did a lot of the jokes was, it's like, it's the it's variants. It's, you know, it's varied enough to where it's just funnier. Like every single time where it's like, oh my gosh.
It's like a mathematic equation where, like, if you just kind of say a thing over and over again, like if you go pickles, pickles, it's like, dude, that's like annoying. But if you do a phrase, and because there'd be moments when it seemed like it was dying down and then would pick back up again. And then that's when it becomes.
And not even just in the phrase, but like in the commercial during, they were watching a commercial, and it was a commercial for Lucky Airlines. And it's this, the joke is that it's a bunch of women jumping around essentially topless in a bouncy room. And then the graphic comes up that, oh, the whole thing was a commercial for Lucky Airlines, but it was really long. Like, it was like, it seemed like it was like a good 3 minutes of just women jumping up, like, which doesn't seem like a lot of time, but when it is just women jumping up and down hot, topless.
And like almost slow motion.
And it was kind of in slow motion. Like, yeah, exactly. And then to have that punchline, and you know it's coming.
Exactly.
But it's still like to elongate it and kind of let it stretch out. And then not only that, but have the guy come in with them and he's dancing with them and it's still not over. And then finally, like, Lucky Airlines. Yeah.
I love the fake commercial where it's just the girl like dancing. Yeah. And then she just goes, you can't eat an air conditioner. And it's just like such like a weird, like.
Brilliant is what it is. And in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, that'd work. Like, I could.
That's how I felt. And I'm like, oh, you're making fun of that, but if that was on TV, I'd be like, I like that.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think these days, especially if you look at I don't know if it was like Skittles and Geico, they both like started doing some like hardcore, ridiculous, just absurd commercial. Right, like Skittles
the absurd Old Spice commercials, yeah, exactly. I think, just around that area.
Absolutely absurd commercials. That just recently they started doing to where, yeah, you see a commercial like that and you're like, yeah, that'd work. Like, I can see someone doing that.
But
these
probably
days.
Back then, like, because commercials were, but just from watching Mad Men, all the commercials were very much like, the sexy ladies, like, in a dress down to her knees, and it's just, she's kind of dancing, and it's all implied. But in there, it's just like,
there it is.
And the product's very much like, this is the brand of cola you should be drinking.
Right.
It is good. It's, but like in that, it's just like, you can't eat, like, you don't know what it's for until they like say it. And it's probably back then watching that, I bet the reaction was probably mixed, where people were probably like, this is hilarious. And there are probably some people going, what the fuck? Which dumb. I'm pretty sure some people would have that reaction watching this movie now. Where,
right.
They'd be like, what is this?
Right.
Yeah.
What's interesting about, the process of the movie is that the ads, once like Truth and Soul came out and started to produce these commercials, and they're obviously off the wall, and they're just people, yes men, basically saying, this is a great idea, and to the point to where I just give up and leave. Looking at commercials now, it reminds me a little bit of that, because you have commercials like the Old Spice commercials and the Skills commercials early on that are absurd and silly, and to me, when people hired the right people to do that, like, you know, I guess Tim and Eric to do the Old Spice commercials or whoever did the Skittles commercials, it had to be somebody taking a gamble on, this is ridiculous, but I see the potential, so I'm going to have it out there. But then I see that next level, kind of like in this movie, of to where people are trying to artificially make a
no reason,
and then you can tell,
genuine.
You can tell that they're trying to replicate the trends of whatever absurdity it is, like right now, I saw a commercial for Silk, almond milk, like soy milk. And it's obviously like a weird commercial that they're trying to manufacture some kind of awkwardness, where it's a two milkmen and the milkman's being extremely awkward to the milk salesman. And it's this artificial, uncomfortable, like you can tell, like it's somebody that's a great idea. I want to do something like that. Yeah. And it's this weird kind of thing that it happens. It's like the cycle that it keeps to happening. Oh, like another good example is all of the Pop-Tarts animated commercials.
Oh, the Don,
which
Hertzfeld,
the Don Hertzfeld, yeah. Because they, I mean, it's, he's never confirmed, but Don Hertzfeld said, you know, who the animator had constantly said that he really was approached to do commercial work after they saw his animated works. And that's why he made the film Rejected, which is about being approached to do animated commercials. And he poked fun at it. And shortly after the popularity of his cartoons came out, Pop-Tarts came out with this campaign that was very similar to his art style, to the point where I even thought, I thought those were his commercials because they nailed the look of it. And so it turned out he had to come out and go, I didn't do those. But he couldn't say that he was approached to do it, but like you get the feeling that they approached him to do it, and then they go, okay, we'll just rip your style and
it, it is like a weird thing where there's like these like very niche things that take like the Tim and Eric thing where I'm pretty sure the Old Spice are just like, you wanna do this? And they're like, yeah, sure, yeah. Whatever. We're like weirdos, we'll do this thing.
Right.
And then people that are like, oh, you can make money off this, and then people that aren't weird. Like I don't want to sound too much like a hippie, but like the suits, man.
Yeah, the squares. Yeah.
They're like, oh, okay, so those guys have like a big muscle man coming out of other big muscle men, and the noises get higher and higher pitched and an explosion. Let's just do that. And then just like, now this is just nonsense. It doesn't come from a place of anything.
I don't want to be the guy that, like, I don't have a TV and I don't watch commercials, but I don't have a really, I don't watch commercials, but I have watched like a Super Bowl ago. There was one, I don't even know what it's for, but it was like a pug monkey baby.
Oh, the Mountain Dew. It was basically Mountain Dew's energy drink.
Okay, so that and that was the one where I was like, okay, that's it. That it, we've reached the stupid. It's a monkey baby thing.
Right.
This is just dumb now. Like, that's okay.
And that,
it's like a weird thing where, like, you notice that happens in like comedy a lot and like actual performance and like television where it's like, this is weird. Let's make this other show that's like that. And we're, like lots of kids shows, like my niece watches a bunch of shows on like Disney XD and they're like, oh, this is, they're making things that are like Adult Swim cartoons for kids.
Okay.
It's really bizarre. Like going, here's like random weird things and noises and like trying to copy that style.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's weird when they're like the whole purpose of like, let's make a weird thing to sell fucking Mountain Dew.
Right.
And then just like, it's like, oh, now this is like, has like no soul. You're just being like,
right.
People like weird random things. Let's make a puppy monkey baby. What is this selling Mountain Dew?
Right.
At that point, it's not even, it can be about anything. Right. You could just be like, this is a creepy thing.
Yeah.
It could be like, for like fucking airline or something. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's nothing to do with the product. Just like weird things sell. And
Which is, so the reason I bring that up is because this movie is made in 1969 and it has this similar concept of like, it's not quite that, but it has this point to where the main character, he's pimping all these commercials of just taking these ideas and chunking them out with totally disregard of what it is. And because everyone's just like, you know, like I said, yes, man, very like sheep mentality. They just accept what's given to them and they're going to love it because Mass Herd likes it. And to the point to where he doesn't even say he gets tired of it. He just stops doing it. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to take my $8 million and I'm just going to like walk out of here. And like, that's it. And to me, like it, but it had a little bit of that point to where, okay, he's done. And that cycle of what we're just talking about, a little bit of that is in this movie from like 1969. It kind of carries that kind of idea in there that there's a cycle of just ideas that just get regurgitated and, you know, transmorphed into other things. And yeah, it's very, very,
It for being made in 69, I think it holds up.
For sure.
Super well.
It's almost like Network in the way where
Like, of course. Oh my gosh,
it very much like has a message about like consumerism from like forever ago, like the 60s and 70s, but somehow it feels like more modern now.
Dude,
so bizarre.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of creepy how it's still just like, yep, all right, that's still a thing.
Yeah.
And yep, that fits it. Yep, it could be written right now. Yeah.
And especially with a show like Mad Men coming out and having watched that and that being for me a unique experience of seeing that show from beginning to end and taking place during the era that this movie was made. But then you see this movie from that era that's taking that world that was like kind of realistically told in this show, but this is like the absurdist take on it, but then how well it lines up with that like the fake kind of reality that the Mad Men made versus the absurd reality that was in this movie is really interesting. It's really, really interesting how that vision matches up or whatever. I don't know, it's very that's very cool.
Yeah,
I liked it a lot. It was very, very cool.
Liked it a lot. It's, like I said, it's, you know, super satirical. It's funny, smart, a ton of as far as like race relations sort of ideas and themes and stuff and civil disobedience and I don't know.
Well, and the whole thing with the president was kind of, like I think you mentioned it, it's like, oh, this, it's almost like how Trump is now, it's just like this goofy, really has no power. He just doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Yeah. Right.
And then some, essentially like a Nazi guy going, yeah, this is right, what you should right, do. Yeah. And then him trying to...
Gable's guy.
But pre Blazing Saddles.
Right.
Pre Blazing Saddles, pre Mel Brooks's, you know, not mayor. Was he mayor or governor? His character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like the same thing of just like, yeah, the idiot in charge now and somebody pulling the strings on the side. And then, yeah, that's the reality that we're in right now. And
so clearly that's been like an issue forever.
Right. Someone's
like, oh, this person shouldn't be in power. But like now it feels more like prevalent because we reached our like our apex of it.
Yeah, it's kind of like the worst.
Oh, we have literally a character from a movie and
yeah,
which is like horrifying.
It's terrifying. It's really scary.
Like instead of being like, oh, The Simpsons predicted
right
this, we should be like, oh, that guy is a cartoon. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that guy a thing? Let's like not let him be a thing. He's like the villain from Lego Movie.
Yeah,
yeah, like, I didn't predict anything. That guy's just the craziest. It doesn't make sense.
I know, and that's our reality, and that's terrifying. It's utterly terrifying.
So what did the peoples on our Facebook Happy Campers have to say about Putney Swope?
All right, we had two people chime in on what they thought it meant. One was Travis K. He said, I have not seen it, but judging by the name of the picture, I would say it's about a giant named Putney who swipes random people and smokes them like cigarettes.
This is a giant middle finger.
All right.
Holding a lady.
That could be like a cigarette.
Yeah. All
right. And James Wells says it's about a guy named Charles Buxton. He'd tell people his friends called him Chuck if you buck, but no one does that. He was a safety inspector for an industrial realty company. During a routine evaluation, he slipped and fell on a radioactive needle. His body began to change and morph. His hair fell out and his skin boiled. He looked real gross, so obviously his boss fired him and his wife left with the kids. As his control over Silly Putty that had become his flesh grew, so did his disdain for the world that turned its back on him. He spent his days finding new ways to gross out people. His favorite move was flipping people off and turning his middle finger into a small lady that would hula dance and sing. Wow. The movie had a terrible structure and just kind of petered out after he showed a chapel full of nuns his balloon animal dick. I think the movie fades to black on a close-up of his hairy pants giraffe.
Wow. Yeah. And Travis told him to shut up. Told him to shut up online.
Good. That was a good guess, though, James.
You went very much it. So.
And then
that's James's spec script that he's pitching to Fox.
I was going to say, that's a real thing. And then Jason Christopher Trevino, the guy who said who saw it and loved it, posted, an interview with Robert Downey Sr. and Paul Thomas Anderson.
Oh, nice.
So, might have to watch that later.
Amazing. So thank you, Travis, for bringing us and showing us Putney Swope. It was a very great movie. It was an interesting experience, a good time capsule movie that has survived the test of time, especially in the times that we're in now.
And this is a horrible comparison because I'm not comparing, but it's the idea of, I think the last movie we saw, Wizard of Speed and Time, it still holds up in its own way as far as it for filmmakers. For this one, as far as a comedy, satirical comedy, it still holds up incredibly. Whereas I try to think of like, any of those scary movie knockoff movies that like, if you weren't to watch, if you were to watch them 2 years later, like after, epic movie, I don't know, there's a bunch of those
weird thing where parody movies just literally became like,
it's like,
let's just make a good date movie instead of like Airplane, where it's like, you don't need to know the subject of this to get these gags.
Exactly. Yeah. So all of those movies and comedies that people, I don't know, I wouldn't say tried that hard. You're just like, oh, we're going to make fun of a Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Well, they're very time specific.
Exactly.
They're very time specific, and they didn't do what the movies.
It's like someone took like an episode of Mad TV and put it in theaters.
Right, exactly.
It's just like weird.
We're unlike, see, Airplane's making fun of, it's specifically making fun of, Airline 77 or whatever horrible movie at the time, but it's making fun of disaster movies in general. And so that's why it gets to stand the test of time, and Naked Gun is parodying cop shows in general, not a specific show.
Whereas Disaster Movie
is specifically
making fun of disaster movies
of that specific time, or superhero movie, or whatever movie it is, scary movie, specifically making fun of Scream, or whatever scary movie
like
does
this
at the time.
More kind of a subtle parody, but like Naked Gun's like a movie that I don't think has like a wasted frame. Like there's like a joke in every single one of those.
Right.
Like a clever, like, oh, that's funny. Like a thank you. But like, as they got to like date movie and epic movie and disaster movie, just like, you know, it'd be funny if we just had like Snooki running in the background. And it's like, there's no thought into these. You're just like, what's popular in this weird zeitgeist, and then going here.
Yeah. And that's what's awesome about a movie is made in 69. It's almost what, 40 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's still like terrifyingly relevant.
and still
really funny.
Still really good funny.
God, that,
he's still very sharp, still very funny. Oh, like, it's not just the silly lines, but just the visual jokes, the actual dialogue.
Dropping the gun is, God,
which would have been a funny gag on its own, but then they call it back for like an integral part of the story.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just like a dumb gag. It just comes back as like,
comes into play. Oh, yeah. Oh, some really, classic jokes in that movie. So,
yeah. So Travis, thanks for bringing us Putney Swope and showing it to us. And that was an amazing movie to watch with us. Before we move on, is there anything in particular you would like to tell us that you're involved in, or what you website linkies, social media thingies that you want to share with our listeners today?
I mean, I'm on Twitter at Travis J. Reyes, and I just tweet angry things about Gaspieri most of the time.
You should if you don't follow Travis on Facebook or Twitter, please do.
Huge fan of Luis Guzman.
I am a huge fan of Guzman. Yes,
yeah.
If you like Guzman memes.
I'm not kidding. Seriously, Travis, some of your stuff, it just brightens my day. It is absolutely hilarious. Some of the whole, I don't know. It's because it's all over the place.
Dog movie enthusiast.
Yeah, Spurs fan. Spurs fan. What else? Also, you know, he thrown politics and whatnot in there as well. But yeah.
This song comes to you perform because it's nowhere near that. just me mumbling about Michael Jordan and, well, like, follow me on the internet. I'm funny, like, on the internet. But, like, I'll probably yell at you if you're in the audience. Just rough childhood. But other than that.
Being on the show before, and as our listeners know, public access, even our special edition of Have You Seen This Man? Through it all, we're still an educational program, and every time we do a show, we try to pass on knowledge. What we came to know, what piece of information or what nugget of knowledge did you come specifically to know from watching Putney Swope? Regan, what did you come to know?
I came to know that good comedy is just timeless. Like, it's flat out, it's timeless. And I think that that's just an awesome thing to create something, anything. I mean, any art, like I said, whether it's a drama or comedy or, you know, a timeless sort of classic action movie, you know, that just holds up over time. It's just, it's nice. Like, I think as far as we all do comedy, we all write and perform and do things. And I think that's one thing that you always strive to do is like tell a joke that you can tell now, you could have told 10 years ago, you can tell 10 years from now, that'll get just as many laughs and won't be that, disaster movie of a joke, you know? And so, you know, I think that's what we all as comedians strive to, is that just comedy that holds up over time.
Right. That's awesome. What I came to know is that the movie being from 1969, it's interesting to see the vilification of advertising in the advertising world. Oh, yeah. Is not a concept that I thought was, again, funny enough, last movie to me, I thought environmentalism and being green was a concept that was like in the 90s, but this movie was from the 80s, and this guy was very purveyor of that concept. Here we have a movie from 1969 making advertising a bad thing, the world of advertising an evil thing, and I thought that was some kind of, you know, anti-corporate thing that came from the 80s. But no, this is 1969, and people had something to say about it then. And that's what I came to know, that vilification of, you know, capitalism, and it was
been around
for a while, you know, but in an expressed form. Someone's always had to have been mad about it, but this is an expressed form where someone made a piece of art and said, hey, this is bullshit, and did it in a very funny, awesome way. So, Travis, after seeing the movie multiple times, and you saw it at an early age, and now you're seeing it again, what did you come to know?
It's kind of like similar to your thing, where like, people have been against these same things forever.
Right.
And it's kind of like, mine's like a more like a nihilistic-y kind of a board. Right. It's like, oh, you can like satirize and be against these things, but these shitty things are always going to have power because those people are shitty and willing to do shitty things to stay in power.
Yep.
So it's kind of like you can be against, because it was against, like, you know, cigarettes, and it's against the war toys and
right,
and all these things. It's like, so you can like make moves. Like, people at this point know those things are, oh, these things are harmful. You shouldn't. It.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's like they're almost like, well, we're not gonna. We're like this unbeatable villain, and it's kind of this like thing that bums you out, but at the same time, knowing that, oh, this existed in 1970, and then it's kept going. That there's people constantly, like artists, constantly kind of going, nah, this is shitty, and people haven't just settled and went, eh, what are you going to do? Right. Like, people are constantly fighting, which is, like, a good thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And keep bringing it up. Keep saying, like, no, this is like, terrible.
Eventually it might go away. Probably not. But
it deteriorates little by little, but at least, like, that's the thing is, like, yeah, like we said, we you make progress, and it rolls back, and then you're like, ah, god damn it.
You
hope for the best. You keep pushing.
But people become more aware of it as it's coming on, or as time goes on. Like with the Trump thing, people kind of went like, "Oh, I get what's happening. This guy was going to win, pretty much regardless of what was going to happen." Okay, fair enough. Time to do this thing, and people kind of understand it more, which like makes it easier to stand up to it,
right?
And I think things like this help, like things that kind of, in like kind of a less preachy way, kind of go, here's like a goofy comedy. Also, these things are shitty, and you should be on the eye out for these things.
Well, I mean, if you look at just TV news shows in general, the prevalence of Colbert, Daily Show, Samantha Bee, Last Week Tonight. I mean, all of those which are under the guise of like, because I remember no one ever took it seriously, Daily Show, for the years and years and years. They're like, oh, it's just got, but then people realizing, oh no, this is one of the few places that's actually kind of like saying what's really going on. And now that's kind of taken off to where it's under comedy. You know, these are all comedians. These are all comedy writers, and it's all funny, but they're hardcore.
They're doing their research or whatnot.
And that's kind of what it is. Those are the artists that are still to this day going, look, guys, this is ridiculous. This is stupid. We're going to make light of it, but it's still terrible and wrong.
Right.
So it's still going on.
Yeah. Well, everybody, thanks for listening to us in another edition of Public Access.
Wait, hold on. Did you like fajita spice on your popcorn?
Oh, shit, yeah. Oh, so
I don't know if I got too much fajita spice on it.
I think, which fajita spicing did you use?
This is Hill Country Fair, so this is bottom of the barrel, by the way. All right,
let me say this. This is something I've come to know, I guess, based on our Purely Snacks. Brand spices matter because
This is kind of old fajita spice, by the way.
So the seasoning that I've used before is Boner's Fiesta Spices. It's their fajita mixture, okay, right?
Yeah. But you know what? That's a whole different animal, this, Fiesta Spice. Now
this spice just kind of, it didn't stick to the popcorn. It just kind of got down to the bottom. Wow. When I use Boner's Fiesta Spice, manufactured right here in San Antonio, it sticks to the popcorn.
You're going to bring that next time, then.
Yeah. Well, right. Or Boner's Fiesta Seasonal. Boner's Fiesta. Those are the spices
I buy. Travis. You got the fajita spice that's been in my cupboard for a couple of years.
But between this spice and the Zestol, a lot of zing destroys this.
Yeah, a lot of zing. I don't know. It kicks it up all sorts of notches. Yeah. It's spicy as hell too. I'm not really spicy, but it's good.
But maybe Hill Country Fairs, which is again your.
Yeah, this is the bottom of the barrel.
Bottom of the barrel spices. If spices do matter, like
that's
your
disaster movie of fajita.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because
it's still
like,
good. It's good till May 22nd of this year. So
what's funny is like you're going, oh man, Boner's is double the price. Like, so that means it's like $1.60 as opposed to
probably
80 cents or whatever that thing was. So I wouldn't kick it out of bed though. It just didn't stick to the popcorn. I had to kind of like stir it around and kind of dip it into the seasoning, which is something you don't dip popcorn. You're supposed to just have the seasoning on there, but. Yeah.
All right. Sorry, just got to throw that in. Sorry.
Of course. No, absolutely. Like you. Once again, thanks for listening to us on oneofus.net. We highly, highly appreciate it. Next week, we'll be back with Larry on board, and we'll be recording a classic public access formatted spot with our old pal, Joel Suttles. in a classic edition of Public Access. We can't wait to have Larry back on board. But we hope you enjoy our new... Have you seen this, man? Because we're going to be juggling the classic format and this format and just bringing you some new stuff. Also, watch out for more videos from yours truly. I have a Resident Evil 7 review coming up pretty soon. And post-March 3rd, a Nintendo Switch full-blown coverage video where... we'll be playing games and it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. We also, I don't know, we should put like, not thumbs up or whatever, but like, yeah, if you haven't seen Putney Swope, go see it. It's a really
absolutely,
good,
yeah.
Absolutely good movie. Like I said, it's a comedy that holds up over time. It's terrifyingly relevant yeah. to the day that we live in. So just
go, definitely go. For me, looking into more Robert Downey Sr. movies because it's something and that's a whole library of movies that I've known about, like, but not by name, but just by, that's something that just never went through the catalog of seeing those films.
If everyone's interested in it, there's a box set called Up All Night with Robert Downey Sr. You can get it for probably like $15 on Amazon now. And it comes with like five or six of his
and
films.
It includes Putney Swope. So
if you're at all interested in that.
Because I wanted to say, and this is a new thing that we should say before, is we reserve the right to not like the movie.
Yeah, we don't have to like the movie.
Don't have to like the movie. Like the last one we saw, I was like, man, I hope this doesn't suck. Same here, I was like, man, I hope this doesn't suck. And luckily, two for two, they've been great.
Great, yes.
But we do reserve the right to not like them, but this one definitely liked.
Right, for sure. Coming up for us, guys, April 22nd. We will be having Scary Harry, a beard competition that'll be purely beneficial to Mr. Larry Garza. All proceeds will benefit him from our friends at Alamo Beard Club. Regan and I will be hosting. We'll be showing some new stuff. Also, our Night in Pinche San Antonio show at the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club will take a different change of course of action. We'll have some new shows. We'll also have combinations, some other entertainment that we're lining up. For sure, April 22nd, Scary Harry, and that same week, also some Night in Pinche San Antonio shows. More details to come. Travis, once again, thanks a bunch for coming on board. Thank you for showing you Putney Swope. And this is Jess.
This is Regan.
And Putney Swope, we seen it.
We seen it.
We seen it.